You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of May 3rd, 2023, and I can't wait to hear Donkey Kong's Oscar speech.
Welcome back to the Experience Points podcast. I'm George Alboy.
My name is Scott Juster.
This is your spin on a humanist conversation about video games and the movies that they inspire.
Dun, 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 dun. Stars of the silver screen on the podcast today.
We're going to talk a little bit about the Mario movie today. Scott saw it, wants to report back a little bit. I'm curious to hear your thoughts for sure. And you took Sam, which I know that you were trying to avoid for a while, just trying to hide the fact that the Mario existed. Actually, to start us off, did Sam come to you with this idea, or were you like, Sam, I have a great idea?
Oh, no, he 1,000, him and his little punk-ass friends at school all waged a campaign on their various parents to see this
movie. You need to, like, I feel like you need to coordinate with other parents to, like, sort of Nelson Mandela effect this whole thing, right?
What are you talking about, guys? This movie doesn't exist.
make a fake website that's, like, your local theater's fake movies. We're in a fucking the AI world, man. You could create some deep fakes where it's like,
to, like, movies from the 50s that he doesn't care about, you know?
Or, like, it is called the Mario movie, but it's just about just regular Italians. You know, it's like a mobster film.
Hilarious. It's Mario Andretti, famous race car driver. You won't like it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, okay. I'm sad to hear that you lost that battle, but okay, cool. Just setting a little context. Yeah. Holy cow. The Super Mario Brother movie has been doing gangbusters at the theaters.
Oh, yeah. It's over a billion worldwide.
It's over a billion. Yeah. So it's at $490,000 domestic, which is quite a bit of money.
That's crazy. So $490 million just in the U.S.?
Just in the U.S., yeah. Man. So if this movie had come out last year, it would be beating Black Panther Wakanda Forever for domestic box office.
Take that, yeah. Marvel.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts. Even on its opening weekend, it was up there with Jurassic World Dominion, which is honestly really surprising. Like, in terms of the actual revenue, I would not have predicted that this movie would do nearly as well as it did. And maybe I'm just an idiot, I guess. Like, is that?
Never bet against Mario. That man's a race car driver, a doctor. And now he's a movie star again. He was a movie star in the 80s.
I guess I just thought, you know what it is? I think I didn't actually fully respect. I don't think I fully respected the fact that I think this year is truly the year where the blockbuster season is in full swing again, and people want to go to the movies. I think that's just at the end of the day, like, people want to go into the theaters, and that's why this movie's done so well. I mean, there is a chance that this is the highest grossing film of the summer, which is pretty wild. Like, yeah, I don't think it'll beat out Guardians of the Galaxy, Volume 3 or whatever.
Yeah. Yep.
But man, that Chris. He's in a lot of
hits. A summer for Chris Pratt.
What a summer for Chris Pratt. Jurassic World last year, Super Mario Brothers this year, Guardians of the Galaxy this year. He's unstoppable. And he's not even my top Chris.
He doesn't break the top tier Chris's. I mean, we discussed this previously, but, like, there's something, I mean, maybe you're right. Maybe there is. I don't know. We live in such a bubble, like, on the West Coast, and me specifically in the Bay Area, where, like, you know, we still think about science and so forth. And, like, we still kind of understand that there's a pandemic on, what with a bad disease. But, like, I got the sense that everyone else was still just doing stuff in the rest of the country. So, like, I don't know. Like, maybe they just really love Mario. You know, like, maybe this isn't a pent up thing. Maybe they just really love Mario. I don't know.
I don't know. Predictions for the summer blockbuster overall are quite high. But I think you're right. Like, I think maybe I just did not fully understand that people cared that much to see
the raw power of Super Mario.
You know, and I had read some early reviews and heard discussions about it as well, like, before you got a chance to see it.
Yeah.
And, you know, overwhelmingly I heard the film is fine and it's good, but not that it was necessarily, like, it didn't provide a lot more than a retelling of the sort of main beats that you might get from a Super Mario Brothers game, right? So with that in mind, my thought was, well, is this really going to bring people in, right? Like, the top grossing movie last year was Avatar Way of Water. Second to that was Top Gun Maverick, then Jurassic World. These are all big adventure films. Doctor Strange was number four. Like, we have to get down to Minions Rise of Gru last year until we get to a kids movie, right? And so my thought was that it would land somewhere, you know, not as high as that as well, because Minions fucking kills it, right? Yeah. So, I don't know. I hugely mistaken in that assessment.
I mean, I think the big difference is Minions only has appeal to kids, whereas this movie was based on games that we care about. So, like, it has
the nostalgia factor. I mean, that's what drove Top Gun Maverick to be such a fucking stellar hit last year.
100%. And it's I guess kind of hilariously a similar formula, where, like, this movie actually was both for people our age and for their kids. Like, they have a total dumbbell shape to this movie, where, like, it's heavily, heavily fan servicey, but also heavily targeted towards the kids learning about Mario and playing their first Mario games. So, like, it's just like, this movie is mathematically calculated to make my son obsessed with it. Like, it is such a, like, I mean, it's kind of scary how well this game both targets
the movie.
The movie, like, what it targets, like, a 6-year-old, what they want from it. And also, it is in so many scene after scene, there are little Easter eggs for people that have been playing the games for a long time.
Like, throw out a couple that you thought were especially cool.
How much do you, well, let's talk about this. How much do we care about spoilers for the Super Mario Brothers movie?
So Princess Peach is in another castle, Bowser shows up, kidnaps her, Mario wins, right? Like, I mean, outside of that, are there other major significant spoilers here?
Well, the thing is, one of the charms of this movie is figuring out what they're going to incorporate from the Mario lore.
So this is a game that you are playing because of your familiarity with Mario going into it. You're like, oh, what's next?
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's everything from, like, in the background, there's, like, these little enemies that I now know about because they're in Mario. They're in a few Marios, but there's a lot of them in Captain Toad, these little buzzy beetles that just, like, wander around in a line together. Mm-hmm. And it's like, there's little things like that where it's like, wow, that's, like, kind of a deep cut for, like, a Mario enemy, you know, like, that's, it's not a Goomba. Like, this is, like, a much deeper cut than, you know, than what you'd expect. But, like, what if I told you the DK rap was in this movie?
Oh, no way. That's pretty cool. I'm falling for it already.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's so targeted to just simultaneously play on exactly what a 6-year-old wants and exactly what a tired old parent wants who remembers learning about Mario in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, yeah. Are there adult pleasures, and I don't mean that in the lewd way, to get from this film besides that nostalgic factor? Like, you know, in Pixar films sometimes, I mean, not, you know, sometimes there's crude jokes, that's, like, the most on the nose one, but also sometimes there's more, like, adult themes that are kind of interesting to chew on. Does this film have any of those, or was it mostly just, like, a Mario hose? Which I guess he does have. Does he have Mario hose?
He's a plumber. I mean,
does
you
he
know,
have, like, does he ever use the hose from Sunshine?
He does not use Flood. You know, just wait. I mean, this movie's made $1 billion in less than a month. There's definitely going to be more. So, like, I guess we'll find out.
Are there any Smash Brother references?
There is an oblique Smash Brothers reference when Mario and Donkey Kong are fighting.
Okay.
At a certain point, Mario and Donkey Kong have a 1v1 fight in an arena.
Yeah.
And they're trying to knock each other off of it, basically.
Okay, so it's a reference in the sense that there's a stage and you can fall off it.
Exactly, yeah. And there's a point in time,
but, like,
where
the
Donkey
huge
Kong
hand doesn't show up, or, like,
no,
a smash
there's no
ball.
Master Hand. There's no,
dude. They missed an opportunity to do, like, an ultimate smash or whatever the fuck. Like, those huge ones are cool.
Like, honestly, like, give them time. Like, this the lengths at which they were able to, like, plumb the depths of Mario lore just reinforced to me how much Mario lore there is, because they didn't even get close to all of it. And they did a lot. Like, you know, the movie opens. Okay, I'll just say this. Spoilers for the kind of... Well, actually, no, I'll go back to your original question, which is, are there more mature themes to appreciate in this movie? Mm-hmm. So I think this movie is aggressively okay. And I was kind of pleasantly surprised by it, because it had been kind of getting thrashed by people, like in the reviews. And I'm generally not too big of a fan of Illumination's other work. And so I was a little nervous, and I was like, how is this thing actually going to be? But the plot of the movie is Mario and Luigi are brothers, and they used to work at some other guy who is a oblique reference to the 1980s video game Wrecking Crew, which is also a super deep cut. Like, fucking, like, kids would never understand that. Or they go to a pizza parlor called Punch Out Pizza, and the font is the font work of the game Punch Out. Yeah. And it's like fucking weird. Like, they have a lot of those references. But anyway, Mario and Luigi are employees. They were employees at this guy's plumbing business, and they quit to start their own business. And they live together with a big Italian family in Brooklyn, and their parents and uncles and aunts are all criticizing them for, like, leaving a stable job. And and even Mario's dad says at the beginning, which, by the way, Mario's dad, let that sink in for a minute.
That's like, so fucking weird. Yeah, I've never even thought, I was imagining him living in an apartment with his family. Like, what?
Yeah, they all live together in, like, a big Italian family in an apartment and everything. Anyway, Mario's dad says something that's pretty brutal. He's like,
the job. You're lout.
Honestly, he says, like, I can't believe, he says something like, yeah, you had a steady job. Like, what were you doing? Like, this is crazy. Like, and the worst thing is you're taking your brother down with you. And I was Jesus brutal. Christ. Like, this is kind of like, this is a story about, like, entrepreneurship.
Maybe this is a prequel, and that's why you never hear about Mario's parents, because he just doesn't talk to them
anymore. Cuts them out. But, like, there's a lot of, like, you know,
entrepreneurship narrative.
Like, it's like, these guys are trying to make a go of it, and, like, it's kind of scary, and they're and the theme of the movie is,
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, you know more about Mario lore, I don't think it works out for him, right? I don't think his business is booming.
I mean, you know, Captain Lou seemed to do fine. I mean, I don't know, like, it's and they were struggling, right? Like, they were, you know, they created their first TV advertisement, and there's, like, references inside the TV advertisement. Like, there's, you know, they're struggling business owners. And, you know, it fits into the main theme of the movie, which is basically, like, you need to stick together. And even if something is scary, you can face it if you're together. And so it's like, okay, like, that's a fine theme. Like, that is a fine theme for a movie. And it's kind of interesting to, like, have a movie where they're doing something scary in real life, and their family doesn't really support them in doing it, and they're having a hard time. And I was like, this is like a weird amount of non-Mushroom Kingdom stuff is happening at the top of this movie.
Yeah. Interesting. And does Peach give them like a monetary handout? Does she hire them at the end?
I mean, Sam and I were actually debating this, because it's kind of unclear how it winds up in the end, because they, at a certain point, shit goes so sideways that Bowser crashes into the human world. You know, like, he warps into the actual Brooklyn instead of the Mushroom Kingdom.
It's not New Donk City or whatever?
No, it is not New Donk City. It's actually New York. However, the mayor of New York, or the spokesperson or whatever, is...
Well, hold on real quick. Do all the humans in New York look like Mario? Like, are they Mario height?
They're kind of stylized. Like, Mario is not out of place as to how he looks. Like, that's just kind of the art style of humans in that world. At the end of the movie, it's clear that Mario and Luigi are at least splitting their time between New York and the Mushroom Kingdom, because they get a job. And they're like, Luigi, we got a job. We're going to go do a plumbing thing. And when they open up their door, they're in the Mushroom Kingdom. You know, so, like, they're walking between two worlds now, and, you know, figuring it out that way. But anyway, like, so there are real themes in the movie, and they're not super deep and they're not super complicated. You know, it's hey, face adversity together is not like a groundbreaking theme, but like it's something, you know, like it's more than you get from some kids' media for sure, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Overall, what did Sam think of it?
I mean, I had to like
drag him out of the theater.
In a good natured way, I had to like quiet him down during the movie because he was legitimately shouting at the screen, "Go Mario, yeah, you're gonna do it, but you can't, Bowser, so you can't beat him, blah blah blah." Like he was like legitimately call and responding the movie in the theater.
Hell yeah, dude, that's like the best way to watch a movie.
Well, that's why I didn't feel too bad about it, because like
that's how I was when I watched The Raid.
I mean, I imagine there was not that many people in the movie theater because we went early, you know, in the day.
It's been out a couple weeks and stuff.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, it wasn't crazy. But, like, I didn't feel too bad because he wasn't talking because he was bored. He was, like, interacting with the movie because he just loved it so much, you know?
Yeah.
And just thought it was fucking hilarious. Like, it's nothing, you know, there's a huge amount of slapstick in it. Like, it's very... I mean, this sounds stupid, but it's very animated. Like, there's a lot of motion in the movie at all times. And so, like, you know, he just thought that was hilarious. And
so,
you know,
what did you think of the voice acting and what did Sam think of the voice acting? Because at this point, he's familiar with Mario's voice.
He is. And I honestly, I have not asked him yet what he thought about Mario's voice.
It feels like that's to me is like, was the story, right? When it was first unveiled in its trailer.
Well, you know, and I think what it eventually ended up happening was the voice is really just kind of generic. Like, it's so generic that it kind of blends into the background. And, like, I don't understand why it had to be Chris Pratt, but I do kind of understand what they had him doing with it, because the voice acting was just there to not call attention to itself.
Yeah.
For Mario specifically. It's not the same way for Bowser or Donkey Kong or whatever. Charlie like
Day
that. Yeah. Luigi is a little bit more, but like even that is not that extreme. Like the main motion of the movie is actually the animation and not the voice work.
Yeah. So it's distracting enough that it kind of blends into the actual action of the film.
Yeah, and I think that other than, you know, Keegan-Michael Key and Jack Black, and the supporting characters have more animated voices. And the core characters, Mario, Luigi, Peach, all have pretty toned down performances, which kind of makes sense to me in the context of the movie, because like the real star of the show are the set pieces and the action. And so I think they just kind of want to, they just kind of wanted that to blend in, you know, like they didn't really want Mario as too much of a character in a weird way, it feels like.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, wild.
It is pretty wild.
So given that it was like aggressively okay, I mean, where what would you have liked to see? Because I know that there were some discussions in the criticisms of the film just not being daring enough, like not being different or unique or, you know, trying anything interesting, which I think you know, you mentioned Illumination, but they've been criticized of that same thing before, right?
So
I mean, is there anything that you would have liked to see different out of a Super Mario Brothers movie? I mean, maybe certainly having more mature or adult themes, or does that just not fit within the world?
I don't know. I mean, I think I guess my my thinking is I don't know what else people would have wanted from this movie, because like, do you really come to Super Mario for
the riveting exploration political drama?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, like in a weird way, I would have been more interested in if they had gone fully the other direction and made it more like Fantasia or something, you know, like like, you know, experimental or like level based thing, you know, where they had different stages and it's like, oh, now I'm in the desert stage or now I'm in the cloud stage or whatever, and like everything has a separate style or a separate, you know, they tell the story with the visuals more than the actual plot, you know, like,
yeah.
And I think that would have been more in keeping. I don't think that would have solved the problem of movie critics criticizing it for having a thin plot, but I still think it would have been more in keeping with the game, because those games are about the essence of video games, and the equivalent to that would have been to do something like Fantasia. That's like the essence of movies. Yeah. You know, and Mario has such a rich world where like it makes sense that you would do it in an animated way, because it's just so fantastical that that's the only right way of doing it. And so like I would have almost had it gone in the other direction, you know?
Yeah. Even less stuff. Interesting.
Yeah. But I mean, but that's the thing, like, and this is where I just don't know. I don't know what people expected out of it, because there was already more plot than I thought there would be, period. You know?
Yeah.
And it wasn't super deep, but like it was there. And I mean, and you know, stop me if you heard this one before, Bowser wants to marry Princess Peach. Like that is literally the plot of this movie. And that has been the plot of multiple video games.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's wild. And it's like, of course that is the plot of the first Mario animated movie. Like, yeah. Of course it is, you know, like why would you expect any different? I think they executed it well though. And like they let Jack Black do his thing, and like, he's pretty funny in it. And the lines, I think they hit a good tone with Bowser, where like he's menacing, but he's also kind of a doofus. Like he's kind of a comedic villain. And I think they fit the tone very well for like what Bowser has turned into from the games, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. What would you want to see out of a sequel? Like Luigi's Mansion style? Cause actually I was going to say, I think when you're talking about other ideas, a Luigi centered one could be interesting, you know?
It's funny because they had a Luigi sequence where Mario and Luigi get split up, and Luigi lands in like a spooky dark world forest. And he almost
but no does, vacuum cleaner.
Well, that's the funny thing. Like he does the flashlight animation where he like kind of hits the flashlight and like is trembling while he's doing it.
Oh yes. Yeah.
And so like there's even like oblique references where it's like it's not a direct reference to Luigi's Mansion, but like,
but this is the way that Luigi responds when he shakes when he's scared.
Yes. Yeah.
That's interesting, right? Because like the laws are true no matter the context, even, and the laws themselves is kind of what's triggering that nostalgia dopamine.
Yeah. I mean, the, you know, Donkey Kong has a red tie, you know, like it's just all of that stuff. There's a very funny sequence where they have to get go-karts. When they're picking their go-karts, the way that they're picking their go-karts is they have these like cylindrical circular menus where they're like scrolling through them to pick the wheels and the chassis and like the hover part or whatever.
Yeah, in the exact same way you would navigate a menu on.
Exactly. Mario Kart. It's literally the Mario Kart 8 menu, but just in the movie. And so it's like, it's just so weird. Like there's so like minute to minute, there are so many references to so many different games, whether specific or implied, that it's almost like it just brought attention to the fact that there's so much more that they could have done. Like my wife was asked Sam, she was like, well, how many power-ups were there in the game? And like, and Sam like rattled off all of the power-ups, and it was only like four or five. Yeah. And it's like, oh, there's like dozens of other power-ups. Like,
did he get a Tanuki suit?
He did get a Tanuki suit.
You know, it's so funny, because like I would think, and I will see this movie. I'll try to see this weekend or something. But going into it, I was thinking, I'm going to hate this movie. But now the more that you talk about it, despite my cold, cynical heart, every time you mention a reference, I'm smiling, because that sounds cool.
I mean, they just, and you know, I think it's because there's so many references and they come so fast and furious that I was able to like recontextualize it in my brain, where it's like, oh, this is the point of this movie. Like I'm no longer annoyed by it because this is the point. Whereas like in other, especially in other video game media, it's just really obnoxious when they get to the fan service part. Or like, I feel like, I mean, we always talk, we always beat up on Star Wars, but like, this is the trap that Star Wars fell into, where like everything had to be a like, remember this guy's wink, you know, like, yes, it's yeah. like, God, fuck, I get it, guys. Like, you're not cool or clever, but like the Mario stuff, they don't try to hide it at all. In fact, they put it right in front, you know, to like make you see it. And so it's like, oh, cool. The fan service is the point. Therefore, I can appreciate it, you know? Yeah.
Okay, well, then two questions. One, are you optimistic about a sequel at all? Like, I mean, in a way, I feel like it's a trap, right? Because yeah. you can't do the same thing again.
Yeah.
But yeah. at the same time, like, maybe that's good because then you're veering into other new uncharted territory.
I mean, I think we were kind of the same on this. We're like, the first trailer I saw from this movie, I was like, oh, this actually looks pretty cool. And then they had a couple more trailers and I was like, this movie looks terrible. And I finally just like landed on like, hey, this movie's fine. And I think what they needed to do with it, they did it. And it felt respectful to the source material and it felt respectful to the audience. Like it wasn't really dumbed down either. Like it was a simple plot and the dialogue was simple, but it wasn't like, I don't know. I feel like some of that other shit, like Sing or like a lot of that other like Minions crap is like actually pandering. Whereas like this mm-hmm. wasn't as much, you know, like yeah. this was just kind of a fun, breezy movie. And so for me, I'm like, yeah, keep making them. It's great. Like if this is the bar that you're setting, this is a fine series to make yeah. many movies out of.
You know? Well, that's a good segue then to my next question. Is this the only Nintendo franchise that can execute at this degree? Because, like you were saying, there is so much Mario to draw on.
Yeah. Or
can you imagine, would you be hyped, having seen this, if Nintendo said, we're going to come out with a Donkey Kong movie or a Metroid movie or yeah. Legend of Zelda, you know, or even like Star Fox or Kid Icarus or, you know, whatever.
Right. Where's my Splatoon movie?
I mean, maybe. I just feel like with this type of success, and it's Nintendo, right? I don't think anybody can ever really accurately predict what Nintendo's going to do because it's just...
can't predict.
Yeah, like they're just notoriously hard to pick, yeah. right? Like I could envision a world where Nintendo says, okay, we did a Mario movie and maybe we'll do one more Mario movie or, you know, a couple more, but like that's it. We're not a film company, right? Or
yeah.
the IPs yeah. we generate are not film IPs. And maybe everybody knows Mario and that's why it's a success, but not everybody has the same affection for Metroid, despite it being mm-hmm. a huge video mm-hmm. game franchise in terms of like external to that franchise. Right. Yeah. But yeah. on the other hand, I could also see a world where they say, let's elevate those franchises. Then like, let's make a Pikmin movie. Yeah. There's enough content there. Like, it's cool. It's an interesting character. If we start the film by saying, from the people that brought you the Mario movie, yeah. and the person who voices Pikmin is fucking, you know, I don't know, Gerard Depardieu or something. I don't know. For whatever reason, it was the first actor that came to
mind. No, it's going to be like the Pikmin guy would be like, you know.
Charlie Day is already Luigi. I feel like he would have been a good Pikmin.
That's true, yeah. I mean, they'd have to pick someone who's kind of more like, you know, bumbling or whatever, but like, yeah, okay. Steve Buscemi. Like Captain Olimar. Yeah.
Yeah, like, are those ideas pick your interest having seen this, or do you feel like...
I think an easy prediction is that there very easily could be a standalone Donkey Kong movie.
For sure. I think that's a no-brainer, yeah.
Yeah, because Donkey Kong was a major character in it.
Yeah. What about Zelda?
I think they would need to do something very different with Zelda because, like, while there is a lot of lore with Zelda, it's not as something about it. Like, it has a more specific plot, you know, and it has a more specific, like, set of lore, whereas Mario has just these kind of, like, Mario is a semiotic universe. Like this the signs in Mario are the importance of Mario, like the question mark block and the fire flower and the superstar and Peach's castle. And like I think a lot of the other Nintendo franchises, they don't have as much symbology in them. They obviously have a lot,
yeah.
but like Mario is uniquely symbolic. Like everything in Mario is the visuals of Mario, so yeah. which makes it, I think, a smarter one to start with.
Yeah.
Whereas like I feel like you'd have to have more of a plot with Zelda, you know?
So are you saying that because you think those films, if they were made, would be bad? Or do you think it's because they just won't make those films because they're too hard? I think you're right about Mario, right? I think that's a great call out, right? Like, and it's why the game has been iconic for so many years.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, can we see them sleeping on pushing for a Pokemon movie, like a bigger budget Pokemon another one film?
Yeah,
that like brings it back to its roots, you know, where it's like a few starters and you're good, you know, like the thing is we're in an era, right, where people are hungry for known IP and Nintendo has a lot of them, you know.
I think like, I could see an expanded universe type of thing where it's like Kirby spin-off. This time like Mario meets Kirby, like that sort of thing, you
this
know,
guy
like...
really sucks.
Or like, you know, any of those. But that's the thing. I think, I mean, honestly, I do think Zelda is probably the toughest one because there, you know, other than Smash Brothers, you know, there's the wackiness that happens inside of Zelda is a self-contained type of wackiness. Whereas like Mario, one of the reasons why this works so well is because like Mario has gone to the Olympics, you know, Mario has done kart racing. Mario has been a doctor. You know, Mario has been a detective, like, whereas there's still humor and character to be found in a lot of Nintendo's other franchises, but you never had a soccer game starring Samus, you know?
Yeah.
And so there's like a certain kind of like lightheartedness to Mario.
She could be the ball.
The morph ball. Yeah, I mean, it does make me... I think they'll just keep doing Mario and Donkey Kong movies for a little while because this is so...
Yeah.
You know, it's such... In a way, it's such a blank slate that they can kind of do whatever they want with it and have it still be recognizable. But, like, it does kind of open up questions to, like, all that other IP that's out there. You know?
Well, and the top of my mind, right, goes to... What is the lesson here, right? Is it that if you get a big budget... If you give a known studio a large budget... And top tier voice actors, not voice actors, actors to pool.
Right.
Can you execute on a video game franchise and hit big numbers as a result of Mario, right?
Yep.
I could see a Metroid movie being actually really fucking cool, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like
a,
you know, PG-13, maybe not even PG-13, but like a more mature Metroid film that's given to a studio that can animate it really well could be awesome. You know, I think a Zelda movie could really be good, like if it was given to a really talented studio. Like, the stories that Zelda tells are adventurous and expansive, right? Even the D&D movie did shockingly well, right?
Yeah.
And that has a lot of, I mean, similar to Mario, a lot of sort of nostalgia and iconic things that can reference, but they still have to tell like a sweeping story, right? I think I could see that, and just, not even just Nintendo, right? Like, I could even see a scenario where, you know, after the Last of Us success, after the Mario success, we started seeing bigger budget and higher actor tier renditions of things like the Resident Evil franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I mean, I'm shocked that there hasn't been, I mean, maybe there has been talk, but like where's the Horizon Zero Dawn movie? You know, like something
I bet you there are scripts making the rounds right now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think the other thing which I also found interesting was like, it's hard to know how much of this is real and how much of it is just like PR or whatever. But Shigeru Miyamoto is credited as a top level producer on this movie alongside Chris Meledandri, you know, the main Illumination guy, and. There was like writing about how like basically they met each other and were like, oh, we kind of think the same way. Like we kind of have a similar creative process. We kind of approach things similarly. And it feels like that's why this movie got made, because like this movie had been shopped like around to other studios at least a couple different times. It's funny, like remember the Sony hack that happened a few years ago? Part of the reveal was like Sony had been aggressively pursuing Nintendo to try to make a Mario movie. And so this movie had been kind of floating around in the ether for a while. And I feel like there is also just something like Nintendo felt like they could work with this team. And so like, it seems like that would also have to be the case for those other franchises. And I don't think Illumination would or should do Star Fox or Metroid or whatever. You know, like I think a different studio would do it, but then it's like,
but I could how see do them, you find like, it? This is going to sound ludicrous, but I could see Illumination making a Nintendogs movie.
I mean, honestly, you know? They basically like, do already. Like The Secret Life of Pets or whatever is like basically that, you know?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, on balance, the Splatoon thing makes a lot of sense to me.
I think in the era that we're in, where we see video games achieving a critical success outside of the video game space in a way that we haven't historically, right? And people are back in the movie theaters and there's big budgets going around and the audience that plays video games have aged up to the point where they have kids. I think it's fucking open season in the next like 5 to 10 years that we're going to see a lot more adaptations of video games at a higher budget level than we've seen historically, specifically for the PG-13 and G audience.
The demographics, the like inverted bell curve of this is for people that are 6 or 46, you know. It's a very, very sweet spot that they landed in. And this movie specifically served both of those audiences very well. And I understand why it's so popular. And it was, you know, it was an extremely like faithful rendition of like what this movie could look like that is smart with the source material. Doesn't take risks, but I don't think it needed to, or no one asked for it. Like, sure, maybe the movie critics asked for it to take risks, but it's like, that wasn't the mission, you know? It was a pretty interesting. And also it was just, I mean, it was fun to see another generation of kids having a really good time with Super Mario. And it's like, they're having a good time with Super Mario for the same reason I was, you know? And so like, there was still kind of this cool kind of, this is actually the same Mario that I liked, all things considered, you know, like the same reasons why you like it. And so like, it was also just kind of cool to see the persistence of that character as universally appealing to all different age of people.
Yeah. Cool. And crazy. Yeah. That would not have predicted it.
There's so many references in this movie. It's wild. Like that was the thing that was so crazy to me, where it's like, no, like even people who are our age are not gonna like, unless you're a real Mario dork like I am, you're not even gonna like, they reference the Super Mario Brothers Super Show from the early 90s in this. Like, so few people saw that shit or even remember it, you know?
Does Wario show up?
No. And that's what's going to happen in the future, right? Like, they're going to do a fucking Avengers thing where there's like multiple villains and like enemies become friends. And like, there's 100% going to be some Wario stuff in the future.
Yeah, that's ripe for it.
Yeah.
I'm secretly hoping that A24 and Ari Aster make an Earthbound film, you know, venture into the horror side of things. God. I think that could be cool.
Oh, man, I do want to play. We got Sam a hat the other day. Uh-huh. And he already kind of looks like a cartoon character, but now he's wearing this hat and he looks like Ness because he just has this round little head and round little body. And like, even Hana was saying, he's like,
give him a Bumblebee shirt.
She said he looks like a character from that game that you and George always talk about, you know, that one. And I'm like, Earthbound? She's like, that's the one.
Awesome. Okay.
Anyway, so there you go. I endorse this movie. You will have a fine time watching this movie.
Well, I'm pretty sure all of them...
even finer time if you watch it with a child.
Statistically speaking, all of our audience have already seen the film.
That is true. Yeah, $1 billion says you've seen this already.
Go see it again. Go see it again.
All right, we shall leave it there. experiencepoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And experiencepoints.net is the website. You can also find us wherever you find podcasts. Do us a favor, leave us a review, and check us out next time.
All right. As always, everyone, thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Ciao. Every time.